Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to dominate your fantasy football league. FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
Week 10 of the fantasy football, I don't even know if I want to call it a season. Week 10 of the fantasy football circus. Definitely, I think, is a better term for it as we head into probably a week where we have the biggest fantasy sports story ever taking place right now. And we'll touch on that for a little bit. Not to mention the fact the year that the 2015 NFL season has been, we are in the playoff push. It is no mistakes time because half your team is injured. The other half is not performing like you thought they should be. So the only hope we have is to make the right decisions when it comes to setting our rosters. I'm Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. Of course, I bring with me each and every week high-stakes fantasy football Hall of Famer, Chris McCarroll. Chris, I know we're going to discuss. I just want to go through your reaction when you saw the news, the breaking news that our guy, Andrew Luck, out for about at least a month with a lacerated kidney. I kind of want to start right there, and then we'll get into everything else that's going on in the world of fantasy football.
You know what, Corey? I'll tell you the truth. That news broke, and, you know, usually in years past, if I lose a superstar or something, you know, I'm really pissed off, and I, you know, maybe throw a thing or two or drop a couple F-bombs or whatever. But you know what? The year it's been, when I heard that news, I laughed a little bit and said, yep, that's about right. Typical.
Par for the course.
That was my honest opinion. I was up in Toronto with our boy Nando doing the TV shows, and that news broke, and I said, are you serious? Is that true? We were looking at the TV together, and I said, I can't believe this, man. This is funny. I said, go figure. The guy, you know what hurt, he just came back, and now after this bye week, his schedule gets so good. And I was like, you know what? I got some of these teams with him still in contention that if I get to week 11 and he's playing all these weak defenses and he's starting to look a little better, I really thought he was going to finish strong. And if I could sneak some of these Andrew Luck teams into the playoffs, I figured, wow, you know what? It's going to wind up all coming back to me after struggling early. It's going to all come back to me. He's going to hit his stride and blow up these, you know, last five weeks of the fantasy season. And then this happened. So, par for the course. You know, anything that could go wrong this season really is going wrong. A ton of injuries. But we can't make excuses, Corey. We say about it all the time. Everyone's dealing with injuries. The best owners are the ones that can overcome them.
No doubt, everybody definitely at this time of year has some red X's alongside some of the players' names on their roster or some of the players that were on your roster. You know what the saddest thing is? When you go to make your weekly waivers and you go to see what's on the waiver wire and the guys at the top of the board are the players you have to cut because they're done for the season.
Oh, God. How about this week? It's Deion Lewis, Arian Foster, Le'Veon Bell. Who else is the other one? Jamal Charles. Looking at all these big names at the top of your free agent list is, and like all the scrubs that are available on waivers now in all these big leagues, they could use the next 6 weeks and not even pass those four guys, you know, in terms of points. So it's a barren. You know what's funny, Corey? One of my leagues, James Starks was available last night somehow, and I blew my whole budget out and got James Starks.
Oh, that's a good move right there. That is a good move right there. Somebody let James Starks sit out there on the waiver wire. It's definitely one of the situations that we'll get into talking about. And boy, I tell you what, that was very lucky right there. You know what I mean?
That's as lucky as you could get this time of year on the waiver wire. If someone makes a mistake like that, then he becomes the starter and he's sitting there and you have a lot of money available. So hopefully that's, you know, it's a team that's actually tied for first right now in my league. And it's my Todd Gurley team, and I get to put Starks with him now. And hopefully that can make me some money, that team.
No, no doubt. Hopefully that can be the start of the turnaround for all of us. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Your luck trickles down to us. Now, when we talk about the poor play this season, it kind of starts with Andrew Luck, and then it trickles down Eddie Lacy, C.J. Anderson, some of the other names at the top of the board that guys are relying on. But look, this is the guy me and you both had penciled in 45 to 50 touchdown passes. The weapons around him could be a possibly historic season and probably will end up being the worst statistical season of his career.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I don't know how you look at it, Corey. In terms of him, it was an obvious miss, you know? I don't like to be these guys on the radio and that don't want to admit when they're wrong, you know? And I was all in on him. I've never been more sure of a pick in my life. Tried to get him in every single draft. And I still stick to, you know, my guns, Corey. I don't know if you feel the same way or you just think it was a miss. But I really just think, you know, he got hurt week one, and he's never been healthy the whole year. And I still think that he would have been a 40-touchdown quarterback. Maybe high 30s, because what I was wrong about in that Colts offense, Corey, I thought Andre Johnson would be another – have a big year. And with him, Hilton and Moncrief and the tight ends, I thought it would take it to another level and let Luck be a 45-touchdown quarterback. The injuries all got in the way. It's been a complete disaster and just been trying to patchwork it all year long pretty much with a lot of teams.
No doubt. Doing the program on a Thursday night tonight, we want to talk a little Eddie Lacy and a little DFS before we hop into the game. Really won't touch on the Jets and the Bills because everybody has been checking in on the podcast on demand. We're going to talk about the matchups coming up on Sunday, and, of course, we got a goodie on Monday night. Now, Chris, Eddie Lacy, no longer the starting running back. You said that you blew your fab. I got two questions for you. What was the runner-up bid, number one? And number two, at any point, did it cross your mind Lacy could have his job back next week, and I'll be holding on to a dead James Starks, who I blew my fab on?
Okay, let me answer it like this, Corey. Number one, I think James Starks is going to be the starter from here on out. I think Lacy is done for this year in terms of having the starter's role. I think this turns into an 80%, 20% Starks to Lacy backfield. Lacy's so fat right now that and out of shape, he's just terrible, and they know it. They've just been I think the Packers front office and coaching staff are just like, I can't, like, how many more opportunities can we put this guy out? He's getting outplayed. There's just no way we could keep continuing to put up the front. Like, you know, this is our starter. We'll stick with him when James Starks continuously, you know, outplays him every week. Starks is the faster, quicker back, better pass catcher out of the backfield. It just makes sense to give Starks, you know, the start now and the majority of the carry. So I'm not worried about that part. Number two, I was completely shocked. I think people fell asleep in this league, Corey, which is shocking. I bid 540. I had 550 left of my fab out of 1,000. I bid 540. It was all in. You know, I figured this is you don't get a good opportunity like this. The next highest bid was 180.
Wow.
I was shocked. You don't see that on waivers in week 10, a starting running back that could give you 20 points every week and in one of the best offenses. So, you know, there was half the league didn't have a lot of money left, so that, you know, that plays a part. But there were guys that had $400 or $500 left, and they just passed on James Starks. And the funny part is, Corey, James White went for, like, 280. I mean, there's a guy in my league that thought James White was a better pickup than James Starks.
Wow.
At 2-8.
And my guess is that that person likely, listen, it's foolish to worry about Lacy getting that job back because we see how Eddie Lacy looks so far this season. And number one, it's also, number two, it's also foolish to let James Starks sit out there and not get James White. You cannot trust the New England Patriots running back backfield. Deion Lewis had became a name that we could trust, but now we go back to James White, Brandon Bolden, and we know all kind of havoc the Patriot backfield can cause.
Yeah, now you're in the situation you were in last year, Corey. Remember what was it? Brandon Bolden, right?
It was Brandon Bolden, and you know, and I went right back to it this year. I did pick up Brandon Bolden in the league last night. I spent a hefty sum for him, but my running back situation was pitiful in that league. I'm talking about absolutely dreadful. And to be honest with you, I needed somebody to start this week. That's how bad the running back situation was in that league. But that's how bad it is in most leagues, for most fans.
Yeah, without a doubt. People are throwing money at anybody that's going to get a couple carries because the running back situation has never been worse in fantasy than it is this year and right now. There is literally nobody. I mean, we're talking about James Starks, and I'm going to tell you right now, I think James Starks is a top 10 fantasy running back the rest of the year from this day on.
And he's going to catch football out of the backfield.
Yeah. I mean, you can't see James Starks catching 5 balls a week for maybe 40 yards and getting 15 to 18 carries a game in that offense with everybody, you know, having to play the pass all the time with Rodgers and his weapons. James Starks, I think, is going to be a monster. And it's funny, too, because I don't know if you agree with what I'm saying right now, Corey, but I did. I spoke to 2 other guys in the industry today, and I told them exactly what I'm telling you. And I'll tell you the truth, the both of them completely disagreed with me. They were like, no, it's going to be still a timeshare. You know, Starks will just be the starter. Lacy's still going to get his and be mixed in back and forth. It's going to be frustrating. It's going to be like the C.J. Anderson, Ronnie Hillman situation right now. And I said, all right, I may be wrong, but I don't see it that way. I've been watching these running backs and the Packers for a while, all year long. James Starks is way better right now. And McCarthy finally realized it, and I'd be shocked if Lacy gets more than, you know, 6 or 7 carries every week from here on out.
I agree with you on that one, my man. Let's want to start to get into some of this game action. Get everybody ready for week 10. Like I said, we really can't, or to the point of the season where we can't make no mistakes on the wire, can't make no mistakes as we get into the playoff push and setting your weekly lineups every week. The Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers, nice fantasy-friendly game. The Packers, 12-point home favorite in this competition. 49 is the expected, the projected game score, the projected total, Chris. I put a DFS lineup together today, Chris, and I had one of my running back spots. I gave to Theo Reddick.
I like it.
Cool with that?
I mean, I am cool with that. $3,300, is that correct?
$3,300.
Yeah. I mean, if Theo Reddick isn't going to catch 6 balls this week playing from behind, he'll never catch 6 balls, you know? So I know that's what you're thinking.
Theo Reddick will be playing from behind this week, and those receptions will be there. And if he gets a chance to pop one in the end zone, I think that's out there also. Calvin Johnson is excellent. Listen, this is an offensive game. Now, with many issues at quarterback, Chris, how do you feel about Matthew Stafford this week?
Yeah, you would look at Matthew Stafford this week and, you know, and say, all right, he's going to be playing from behind, garbage points. He could put together a 280 and 2-touchdown game for his price, and I'll get it and run away with it, you know, playing all day from behind. I just think Matthew Stafford's so bad right now at this point, Corey, that I don't even trust him. And you know what? Not only can you can't trust Matthew Stafford, but his offensive line is the worst in football right now. You know, the Packers defense isn't playing well at all, but they're fighting on the sidelines last week. And you usually see teams like that come out on fire the next week. They're arguing with each other. You know, they want to know what the hell they're doing, what's going on, why we look like, you know, why we look like crap all of a sudden. The next week, you know, they show up on Sunday, they're looking at the Lions' offensive line and Stafford, who's a turnover machine, and all of a sudden this unit gets healthy and starts smiling again. So I don't like Stafford. There's a couple of cheap quarterbacks that are cheaper than him this week that I like a little better. So I'd stay away. But and then on top of all that, Corey, you got Calvin Johnson still, you know, limping around a little bit with a banged up ankle that he hurt in London 2 weeks ago. So if he's not 100% healthy, I'm completely staying away.
No, no doubt. And I agree with you. Matthew Stafford is not a player I'm trying to get involved with this week. Have him stashed on the bench in a couple leagues. Been rolling him out there. Haven't been really burnt that bad recently like I was earlier in the season. But Matthew Stafford, definitely a guy I trust this week. He's just not looking right. On the Green Bay Packers side of the football, this is your stack in DFS this week. Green Bay coming off two back-to-back losses. Get a home matchup against the Detroit Lions team that they can actually blow out the water. You see the big 12.5 home favorite that the Packers are. I just want to know. We know what it is in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
Our boy Rich Rodgers getting it done. Great call by you.
Yeah.
Nice week out of Rodgers last week.
If
you had to play one of these wide receivers, who would it be this week? Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb.
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
I got you. All right. Now, Corey, this is my favorite stack of the week. I know you got to pay up for a little bit for Rodgers, but he would be the quarterback on all my cash lineups. The Packers are going to score 40-plus. This is when this Packers offense is going to get real healthy. They turned it on last week in the second half, looking good against a good defense. Well, now here comes the pathetic Lions defense. The guy I like the most to finally have a huge game is Randall Cobb. Okay? Randall Cobb has the best matchup in football this week. The Detroit Lions don't have a good slot corner man to cover Cobb. They keep going through slot corner men. And now they're going to have a rookie on Cobb this week. It's going to be a huge mismatch. Rodgers and Cobb on my stack in all my lineups pretty much. Although I do really love Devontae Adams at 4,200 on DraftKings, and I will have him with Rodgers and a couple other lineups. But Rodgers Cobb for me would be my favorite.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that one. I like Devontae Adams this week too. I have more Devontae Adams right now because I like him getting healthier.
You know what? Why not use all three? How about that? Rodgers Cobb and Adams.
A situation where you can do it. I think this is a situation where you can do it this week because I really think they get it going this weekend.
This has 350 and 5 touchdowns written all over Aaron Rodgers this week. One of
those. Detroit Lions have the kind of defense where you can get that done against them.
Absolutely. As long as the weather's fine in Green Bay and it's not one of those windy games or whatever, if you give me, you know, low 40s and no wind or whatever, this team's going to put up 40-something points this week and beat the hell out of the Lions. They're coming off two losses, you got to remember, Corey. Two straight losses for Aaron Rodgers. You know there's no way he's losing three in a row, especially another one at home where he's gold. All in on the Packers this week.
Speaking of teams on losing streaks, the Dallas Cowboys, my Dallas Cowboys, have lost six games in a row. Still cannot complete the task of winning a football game without number 9 behind the center. So at this point, you know, it is what it is. But this week they're on the road traveling Tampa Bay. The Bucs, even a 2-point favorite over the Cowboys. 43.5, Chris, is the point total on this one. A lot of things to like in this game. Let's start with Darren McFadden. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago when we said that this is Darren McFadden's job now, and he's carrying it for the rest of the way. Joe Randle not even on the roster. As long as McFadden is healthy, we both like him to be the top 5 back for the rest of the season. You know what, Chris, and the workload. Last week, in a situation against a good Philadelphia defense, where they played from behind at times, Darren McFadden still 20-plus carries. This is, what, four weeks in a row of Darren McFadden 20-plus carries. Really the offense in Big D right now. They try to sprinkle in some dads as they go along the way. Great catch by him last week, too, in the back of the end zone. But, Chris, the situation in Dallas is it's just Darren McFadden and nobody else. I mean, of course, you have Dez and that talent, but
– yeah, in the field, it's just him, you mean. Yeah. No, I hear you, Corey, and that's why I loved McFadden. Once Randall was out of the way, I was like, there's nobody to compete with Matt McFadden in the backfield. People still wanted to go to bat for Christian Michael, and this guy doesn't even get on the field, not even for a couple backup snaps. So McFadden is a complete workhorse right now. Last week was the first week you saw him not, you know, add fantasy points in the passing game, really, with only one catch. I expect him to get back on track this week, catching some more balls out of the backfield. Your Cowboys are going to win this game, Corey. They're going to get off the snide this week, I think. Castle, even though he's nothing spectacular, he'll do enough to win this game in Tampa. McFadden, Dez, they all know Romo's coming back in a week or two, and they got to start putting some wins together or it won't even matter when Romo comes back. You know, this game is like this game is as big as it gets for the Cowboys. You know, they lose this game versus Tampa, I don't even care what happens when Romo comes back. They're probably out of it. If they can get a win this week, they'll stick around probably to the last week of the season and maybe sneak out, you know, a 9-7 NFC East title and go to the playoffs.
It could happen in the NFC East this year. Of course, that division is only going to take one team. What do you think about the resurgence of Cole Beasley putting up a big 30 burger in PPR points, mainly on fantasy on his bench?
Not only on fantasy on his bench, Corey, but I had enough of this guy. I said, you know what? This guy is just useless for me on my bench. I'm never going to play him. And I dropped him last week in a couple leagues, and then that happened, and I said, oh, my God, I can't believe it. But I don't think this is – it's been one of those seasons, Corey. What can I say, you know? But I think last week was just, you know, that fluky week, honestly. He dropped 2 zeros in a row the previous 2 weeks, and then nobody could have saw that coming. You know, the big 32-point fantasy game. It's not going to happen often. I mean, nothing like that. He'll go back to being a 3 or 4 catch for 35 yards wide receiver going forward. You know, we all know what this offense is. Dez and Witten are going to be catching the balls, and McFadden's going to be getting 25 touches out of the backfield. Those are the guys you want to own and have in your lineup, not Cole Beasley.
On the other side of the football, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and boy, I tell you what, it just can't. The weapons are there. They don't seem like they can get it going. I'm impressed with Jameis so far this season. Listen, started off slow, hasn't thrown an interception in a couple weeks now. Mike Evans slowly but surely starting to get it rolling after missing a good part of, you know, the spring and training camp and all of that stuff. But the hamstring injury, we haven't seen Vincent Jackson, and nobody has a clue when Austin Seferian Jenkins is going to do anything besides practice.
I mean, Austin Seferian Jenkins has been a real pain in the butt lately, Corey, because for the last 2 weeks he's supposed to be coming back and scrambling at, 12 o'clock every Sunday, taking him out of all my DFS lineups because I expect him to play and then he doesn't. So, you know, he would be a huge boost in the passing game if he comes back this week. Until then, you know, these defenses could just, you know, hone in on Evans. Evans got targeted, I think, 19 times last week. He had a lot of drops, but, you know, with that volume and all those targets, you got to keep, you know, he's a good play every week. You know, obviously in season-long you're playing him, but even in daily. Vincent Jackson, it doesn't look like he's going to play again this Sunday. He hasn't practiced all week, missed practice again today, so he probably sits. So, Jameis doesn't have that many weapons to choose from right now in the passing game.
No doubt. Doug Martin and Charles Sims. Doug Martin still getting it done, but game script doesn't allow for him to have those big blow-up type go-off games. Charles Sims, third down back with limited fantasy value. More than likely, if you have to start him, temper your expectations, hold your nose. But for the most part, you may be able to find somebody better on the waiver wire in some of your home leagues and stuff like that. Carolina travels to Tennessee. Tennessee lanes, Tennessee 5.5 dog at home. Marcus Mariota back strong last week, of course. Don't be fooled. Yeah. That was New England. That was the New Orleans Saints defense. That defense, that secondary is pitiful. This is not the New Orleans Saints defense they take on this week. This is the big bad Carolina Panthers in their home building.
It is. And like you said,
on the road.
Yeah, the game's in Tennessee, Court. But, like you said, with Mariota, don't get excited. You know, everybody looks like Joe Montana versus the Saints defense. You know, so you know what, though? This kid Antonio Andrews is coming along nicely now. He's actually someone you can actually trust. It's funny, too. You know, you see different rankings across the board, going into this week. And you see Antonio Andrews, like, in that 15 range overall at running back. And I'm like, wow, this is what fantasy football has come to, where Antonio Andrews is, like, a high-end RB2, you know? If not, there's 12 teams in a league, and he's, like, the 15th guy. That means, you know, he's probably someone's number one running back right now.
Unbelievable, and that's Antonio Andrews. And then you know what? I looked at him on the waiver wire in several leagues this year, and I was like, the offense just didn't have enough. But the fact that he is playing makes him valuable.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. 19 carries, I think it was, last week, and he looked pretty good, 80-something yards. I was watching the game with our boy Keith Bullock, former Titan,
mm-hmm.
and he's around that team a lot, and he says they love him and that he's going to be legit the rest of the way. So, to our listeners out there, take it from a Titan insider right there. Keith Bullock likes Antonio Andrews a lot. So I think, expect him to carry the load the rest of the way. If he's getting, 15 to 20 touches, then you got to play him every week in your lineup in your season long. I have him on a couple teams that I picked him up for cheap, weeks ago. Never expected him to play, just as roster depth, as like an RB6. I got him in as my RB2 in a couple leagues this week already. On the gambling front, real quick, Corey, I wanted to give my two picks for the week out there. I just told you I love Dallas this week in a pick 'em versus Tampa. This is my other pick. I love the Titans getting 5 points at home. This is the week that Carolina has the letdown game after coming off the big wins the last couple weeks, especially at home versus the Packers. They're going to go to Tennessee, lay an egg, and lose their first game, I think, outright.
The trap game against the Tennessee Titans defense has been pretty solid so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, let's talk about the Carolina Panthers.
Right.
Who are the Panthers players, not named Cam Newton and Greg Olsen, that should be in your starting lineup in your season-long league?
I would like to come out easily and say Jonathan Stewart, but, I mean, it's the same blah game every week from Jonathan Stewart, Corey, and he's adding nothing in the passing game, which in years past, you could rely on him for four catches or something like that. It's like 70 rushing, 80 rushing, which is nice in real-life numbers, but without a touchdown or catches, that's just 7 points, and that's what I feel like I get at him every week. And that's just not enough. And if you want to start guessing about what wide receivers to play in this offense, then,
good luck.
You might guess. Yeah, good luck. Corey Brown, Ted Ginn. I said the other day to somebody, don't be shocked if the rest of the way this kid Muntjes steps up as the number two option in the pass game. They told me I was crazy. But I said, what other options do they have? Maybe this kid, as a rookie, it just took him half of a season to get acclimated, and now they're giving him some more opportunities, obviously. He caught a nice 52-yard bomb the other day and a touchdown, and who knows? Maybe he'll be a five-catch guy the rest of the way, and you can get away with using him as a flex player.
No, that is a player that a lot of people have been asking about this week, and you make a good point with that, and he can be had on some waiver wires right now, even in some deeper leagues. The Washington Redskins and the New Orleans Saints meet up in D.C. this weekend. Listen to Kirk Cousins talk. It's going to drive you crazy this week. And we do understand it's the New Orleans Saints defense. I'm just not comfortable with playing Kirk Cousins. I'm just not.
Okay. Well, let's go through this then, Corey, because you're right. This is what I'm hearing all week long, too. And I'm going to give you a situation that I'm in. And I'm going to tell you what I did, and you tell me if you agree or not. So this week, I hit the waiver wire. I look at all my Andrew Luck teams, and I have Andy Dalton as my backup in all my Luck leagues. So I'm all right. I'm covered. But one of my Luck leagues, I have Jay Cutler as my backup. So now I have
Lucky
Luck
matchup for Cutler this week.
Okay. So sitting on the waiver wire last night was Kirk Cousins. So I'm saying, I got Luck is gone. Forget him. And now it's either I go with Jay Cutler in St. Louis versus that nasty Rams defense, which I know Cut was good for two or three interceptions this week, or a couple of turnovers. Or do I go to the wire, pick Cousins up at home versus the worst pass defense in football with all his weapons back? Sean Jackson, Garcon, Jordan Reed, who the Saints can't cover, that is terrible against the tight end. I said, you know what? Why play the bad matchup with Jay Cutler on the road? I picked Cousins off the waivers, got him for a nice cheap $40, and I threw him in my lineup, and he's starting for me this week. I'm going with Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins on the lineup. This is for the NFFC Hall of Famer. Now, in the lineup for the NFFC Hall of Famer, no, and I agree with you, in that situation, because Cutler, listen, I like Cutler. I'm a champion for Jay Cutler. I've talked, when it comes to these backup quarterbacks, I've been Blake Bortles, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, and then my man, Jay Cutler.
Cutler, absolutely, yeah.
This is not a situation where you want to play Jay Cutler at this week. This is a bad deal right here, and I agree with you. I would even go to Kirk Cousins this week. All the reasons you mentioned are absolutely right on point. Deshaun back, not to mention the fact of, you know, Jordan Reed. I mean, this is that Saints defense, and there's going to be some volume there.
Yeah.
Do you trust it enough to play him in DFS?
At 5,200, Corey, I'm going to put some lineups with him in it. I'm not going to lie. He's going to be, just because of what I can do with the rest of my lineup at receiver and running back, with a quarterback that at 5,200, basically bare minimum, versus that matchup. I mean, Kirk Cousins, this game could go back and forth. You could be looking at a 31-27 game at the end of the day. And if Cousins is throwing those touchdowns in, he could go 303 touchdowns. We've seen a lot worse court. I mean, Matt Castle, to me, is in that Kirk Cousins territory.
Mm.
Matt Castle just threw for 300 yards and three touchdowns last week. There's a much tougher defense in the Eagles than the Saints are. So,
yep.
No doubt,
it can't happen.
Yeah, for that 1 week, Kirk Cousins could make magic and go 303 touchdowns. And now look what you could do with the rest of your lineup with a 5,200 quarterback giving you those numbers.
Let me ask you this. What do you think about, you know, DFS competitions, like to pay a quarterback with a wide receiver? You paying Cousins with Jordan Reed, or are you going to take a shot on one of the wide receivers?
I'm pairing him with Jordan Reed. That's who I don't wanna play games with the Garcon, Deshaun Jackson wide receiver. I'd rather take that tight end. It's slipping my mind right now how much Jordan Reed is this week.
4,600.
Love that price too. So now give me a 5,200 quarterback and a 4,600 tight end, Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed is that type of tight end that could give you that 100-yard bonus. You know, he could go 6'1", 10" and two touchdowns in this game. The Saints can't cover the tight end. They're terrible. I think they're ranked 31st or 32nd against the tight end.
The Saints can't cover anybody, bro.
They can't. Oh, absolutely. There you go. They can't cover anybody. But I'd rather do the Cousins-Reed stack, and then now I could really come out with the big guns. You know, I did this last week, Corey, and it worked out great. You know, I wound up having two cheap running backs and a cheap quarterback. And with that, I mean, Roethlisberger was, like, kind of cheap, and that was who I had at 6,400. I was able to put Antonio Brown stack with Roethlisberger. We all know what Antonio Brown did last week.
Went crazy. Scored enough to cover Big Ben's injury.
Yeah, with Odell Beckham and Julio Jones. So I had the three top wide receivers in fantasy in my lineup, and I saved money at all the other positions, and it went great. I mean,
no doubt.
You could do that this week if you do a Cousins Jordan Reed stack.
And when you look at the other side of the football for the New Orleans Saints, it's going to be a tougher matchup to get Mark Ingram going this week. But, of course, you roll him out there each and every week in your season-long league. And it looks like Brandon Cooks, who we had maybe recently as a month ago, kind of deemed him a bust. Looks like he's turning out to be, you know what, wasn't so bad.
Yeah. Who was that against, Corey? I'm sorry, you broke up.
Brandon Cooks, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's starting to save people's fantasy season that drafted him in season long. You know, he's starting to come around. I saw somewhere the other day, I want to say that, you know, his projections now are on pace for like 85 catches and like 11 or 1,200 yards and like 7 or 8 touchdowns. I'm like, wow, you know what? If I had those numbers before the season started, I would have said, okay, you know, third round draft pick, you know, that might work out just fine. Obviously, it was a total bust the first month of the season, you know, month and change. But now he's starting to turn it around a little bit, and it seems like he's getting in the end zone almost every week.
Yep, he is playing very well recently, and I expect him to get in the end zone this week. Fell in love with Willie Snead about a month or so ago, but it looks like that romance is starting to come to an end, even though we do expect the volume to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, up and down, it's one of those offenses, Corey. It's not like an offense that, you know, it just has like the two targets that, you know, get fed every week, like a Jacksonville with, you know, Hearns and Allen Robinson.
A-Rob.
Yeah, this Saints offense, it could be Ben Watson. It could be guys out of the backfield. It could be Snead, Cooks. You never know. Breeze spreads it all around every week. You just got to hope there's enough volume there for everybody to eat or, you know, just you got to hope it's just your guy.
Got about 25 minutes left to go in the program. We'll try to hit through everything for you. Miami Dolphins, Philadelphia Eagles this week. 49.5 is total Philadelphia home favorite in this competition right here. How do you feel about Sam Bradford?
You know what? Well, according to Sam, he feels like he's getting a lot more comfortable in the offense. He feels that that he now knows what plays work and what plays don't, and the coaching staff agrees with him and pretty much have thrown out, you know, I guess, parts of the playbook that he's not comfortable running. So now he feels comfortable. He's got another good matchup with Miami this week. I don't know, Corey. This guy's a mystery still. I mean,
I think
even
so
last week, he's still a mystery. I can't trust him still. I really can't. I'm a Bradford owner in a handful of leagues, and I'm just looking ahead. He has nice matchups in these next 3 or 4 weeks where you could, you know, maybe ride him for the next, you know, 3 weeks and see. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting there going, all right, Bradford, there you go. Let me pencil him in for 300 yards and 2 or 3 touchdowns. He could still throw that bomb out there. So
I got to leave with – I got a league where the playoffs start in week 11. So that means we have 2 more weeks of the regular season. Well, the regular season ends after week 11. We start the playoffs week 12. So 10 and 11, I'm the third seed in the league right now. 4 teams make it to the playoffs. Nice little piece at the end. I have Sam Bradford on my bench, and I have Blake Bortles in my starting lineup.
Okay. I agree with that. I mean, there's no way you're benching Blake Bortles right now, Corey. There's no way. Bortles, you know, we're at the point of the season now. You can't forget about the rankings, the preseason rankings. You got to go with what you see week in and week out. Blake Bortles is a legit top 8 fantasy quarterback right now, and he's got the best matchup. One of the top 3 best matchups is this week. So it's easy for me this week. It's Bortles over Bradford, and then it'll always be Bortles over Bradford unless the matchup is completely, you know, lopsided where Bradford has a great matchup and
Eagles
has a
Saints.
Tough matchup.
Eagles, Saints,
yeah.
Jaguars,
right, exactly.
Seahawks. Yeah.
Right. I don't know who Jacksonville plays next week. I can't remember it right now, but Bradford is at home versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that'll be a tough one to sit Bradford unless Bortles is playing like, you know, one of these horrendous defenses. So you might have a tough decision on your hand next week, but can't worry about next week. You know, we go week to week at this point.
At this point, we just got to get through the couple of minutes of fantasy football that's in front of us. Jordan Matthews, trust level on Jordan Matthews right now.
Getting better. It's getting better. I love that he finally had this type of game because if he came out of the bye week and crapped the bed, then, I mean, I would have had to put him on the bench. But now he had the huge game You know, Philly's got nobody to throw to, Corey. They got nothing. They're another one of these offenses that is just like, I want to say, like, act like Carolina. You know, look at Carolina. Like, Jordan Matthews is like Greg Olsen, and then it's a bunch of crap all around, you know? So, Philly, you know, Matthews is the only one that's playable now in that secondary. He's going to be lining up in the slot most likely. Miami doesn't have anybody good to cover him. And then he's got another good matchup, like I said, next week versus Tampa. So I think you could start rolling out Jordan Matthews and hope now, this second half of the season, that he gives you the return on his value that we all drafted him at.
No doubt, and that's the hope I got going into this league, because I do have Jordan Matthews on that same Sam Bradford. And he's on the bench this week. No, he's actually in the lineup this week. He is in the lineup this week. He was in the lineup last week. But for the 2 weeks before that. Yes, before that, he was on.
Now, Jordan Matthews this week, I'd say.
Yep, I agree with you on that. Miami Dolphin rookie running back, Jay Ajayi, should he be owned in 12-team leagues?
Absolutely. The kid looked real good. First off, you got to have him just for a handcuff. I mean, if Lamar Miller went down, this is a guy that, you know, you take him, you stash him on your bench now. You let him sit there as your RB5 or 6 or whatever. And if Miller gets banged up and misses some time, this is a guy that steps in and you're in the playoffs. Who knows? He wants to win you a fantasy title. You know? He's a really good player. You know, he's been sitting out all week, so he's sitting out all year, so he's fresh. They threw him right. To show you how confident the Dolphins coaching staff is with him and likes him, they cut Jonas Gray as soon as Ajayi came back. You know, and Gray was running as the two. So Ajayi is locked in as the two, got 5 carries this past week and got 40 yards out of it. Maybe his role grows. The coaching staff already said we want to get the ball to Ajayi more going forward.
And I think that's more likely a good idea. Still feel good about the rest of the situation with Miller and Landry. Rashad Matthews, nice sneaky play this week in DFS as he always is. Ryan Tannehill, not too impressive. He would be on my bench moving forward.
I hate Ryan Tannehill. I could never.
That's how you really feel, Chris.
Yeah, I'm honest, bud. You know that about me. I'll tell you the way. I hate him. For our listeners, if you got Tannehill, get rid of him or just stop using him. I don't know. Go to your backup. Do something. Pray. Go to church. He's terrible.
Hands and knees. Pittsburgh Steelers fans on their hands and knees right now.
I don't have it, though.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Not at all, Chris. Pittsburgh Steelers fans on their hands and knees right now praying for speedy recovery for Ben Roethlisberger. Antonio Brown owners are in the pew right next to him, Chris, praying on a speedy recovery for Big Ben Roethlisberger. What's the latest on Big Ben's situation?
You know what? This guy, first off, you got to love Big Ben as just an NFL, but this guy's a warrior, man. He is awesome. You know, he's not one of these soft guys that I'm hurt again. I mean, don't get me wrong, he always gets banged up, but it's because he plays like an animal and he takes all these hits. But he always bounces back. This guy, he shed his walking boot today, and he's telling people that he's got a shot of playing this week. But I'm going to tell you, Corey, he's not going to play this week, and I'm going to tell you why. They have their bye week in week 11, which sucks for Steelers owners.
You got to figure that out. Antonio Brown going down the stretch.
Oh, exactly. So, I mean, they're probably going to say, list it out. Don't aggravate it. They had a huge win this past week versus Oakland to keep them in playoff hopes. If they can, you know, I don't even think they need Big Ben this week to sneak out a win versus Cleveland. So if they win this week, they get to 6-4. Ben is rested. He comes out of the bye, and the Steelers go on to get one of the playoff spots. So I think they rest him. But, I mean, Antonio Brown owners, man. Brown's been healthy and all year long, and even they can't catch a break because of everything that's happened with Roethlisberger. So, I mean, cross your fingers that Landry Jones could get him the ball this week. But when he played the last time, it seemed like Martavius Bryant was the guy that benefited the most.
No doubt Martavius Bryant did, I believe, have two touchdowns during the previous Landry Jones era. So that's a good call right there, Chris. Travis Benjamin, how you feel about Travis Benjamin this week? We know we love Gary Barnes. This might possibly be the waiver wire pickup of the year, but I think Travis Benjamin is a guy to sneak out in some DFS contests this week.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been heard from for a little while, right, Corey? I mean, he started to slow down a little bit, but I'll say this. I think it all depends on McCown. Now, here's what I'm thinking with McCown. You know, they said he's going to most likely be back. If Manziel was the guy, I don't want to trust Benjamin at all, and I don't want to trust anybody in the offense.
Yep.
But if it is McCown, then you got to love Barnage in this matchup, because that's where Barnage, you know, makes all his money, is when McCown is under center, and he struggles when Manziel is there. But I'm worried that McCown is just rushing back, and he's banged up, and he's actually really hurt with a rib injury just because he's worried about losing his job as a veteran to a younger kid. He's not going to sit out and watch, you know, this young kid take his job. So these veterans are going to rush back, even though they're banged up, and then they're going to play like shit, and then, you know, they're going to go back to the bench anyway. So I think he's just running some stuff back, you know. So we'll see. I would stay away from the Cleveland Brown receivers this week.
15 minutes left to go in the program. Up next, another fantasy-friendly competition right here, the Baltimore Ravens at home for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think we've talked about Blake Bortles and the crew enough. Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, walking boots seems to be for protective matters. Looks like Hurns will be available to play this week. If you were like me and were able to pick up Brian Walters off of free agency this week, may not get a chance to roll him out there. But if Allen Hurns is out, Brian Walters is the guy to get involved with. The Baltimore Ravens secondary stinks. Maybe only the Saints. And the Chiefs worse than Baltimore in the secondary. So you know what that means.
The man
crush on Blake Bortles continues.
Sure does. And, you know, we talked about stacks earlier. I think the most popular one this week that you hear about that everybody wants a piece of is the Bortles to Allen Robinson stack. And I agree. Don't get me wrong. This combo is great right now. But you know what worries me, Corey? You're just hearing it from too many people all over the place that it's the must start of the week, the Bortles to Robinson stack, and it usually never works out as perfectly as everybody expects it to. That would be the only reason to stay away from it. If Allen Hurns sits, you nailed it on the head. The kid Walters, I picked up in a couple leagues that I have Hurns on my team just as insurance. That's a great play. He's been catching 4 or 5 balls every week. And then even though he's been terrible lately, sooner or later, Julius Thomas has to get more involved in this offense. And if Hurns sits out, maybe Julius Thomas is the beneficiary.
I agree with you on that one. Julius Thomas is a player that I'll be watching the actives and inactives for on Sunday morning, specifically to watch that situation with Allen Hurns for Brian Walters and to possibly get Julius Thomas in a few DFS lineups. And back into some of my lineups in my season-long leagues right now, he is on my bench. Baltimore Ravens is projected to be a big game for Justin Forsett going against that Jacksonville Jaguars defense, let up 8 touchdown runs on the year so far this season, not to mention the fact you could throw the ball on them. Also, Crockett Gilmore, Justin Forsett, don't even fool with anybody else.
Kamar Aiken, Corey.
I'm not a Kamar Aiken guy.
I got you. I understand, but you know what? The targets are going to be there, and it's either – if I told you Kamar Aiken or Chris Givens, which one do you like more if you had to choose between the two? Because one of these guys is going to have a decent game this Sunday.
And he would probably like to have, like, Aiken, veteran. I mean, well, not a veteran, but in that system, knows the situation more. And guy has been around, probably get a little bit more reliability and trust from Joe Flacco. So I think Aiken would be the guy to go to.
In the games that Steve Smith has missed, This year, Aiken's been targeted 9-plus times in each of those games. So that's a lot of targets. And, you know, you got the Colts receivers on a bye. You got Julio on a bye. You know, you got the Chargers receivers on a bye. You know, if you have Kamar Aiken sitting on your bench as a wide receiver 6 all year, this might be the week to put him in as your flex.
Good call on Kamal Akins. Oh, where are we at, Chris? 4 o'clock. Minnesota Vikings, Oakland Raiders. What's the latest on Lat Murray? Because I may need to pick up some Marcel Reese, Tywan Jones, Roy Helu action, some of my dire running back situations this week. What's the latest on Lat Murray?
It's ugly out there, Corey, if your starter goes down, isn't it?
Bro, if I'm going Marcel Reese, you know it's bad. If I'm going Tywan Jones, it's over.
You're just putting the line up into this, be nice to the rest of the people in the league at this point.
Exactly.
I mean,
they're like, why do you have an empty lineup? Well, I didn't have an empty lineup. I still gonna get that zero.
Yeah, it's ugly. But actually, good news for Latavius Murray. Today he says he feels great. He's out of the concussion protocol, so things are looking up for him. He most likely will play on Sunday, but these things with the concussions, man, I realized it now. No matter what, you really have to wait until Sunday till those inactives come out. You never know when you just pull the plug and they're like, he doesn't look that great. He looks a little woozy. Let's sit him out for 1 week. So, I mean, right now things are trending upwards for Latavius Murray, but keep your eye on it.
No doubt. I agree with you with that. On the other side of the football, like, this is the prime spot to fire up Adrian Peterson in some DFS contest going against that Oakland Raiders defense, which has gotten better, but still neutral matchup. I always go with stud Teddy Bridgewater currently in the concussion protocol too, right?
Yeah. Zimmer said today that Bridgewater will be a go on Sunday, that he's looking fine. He's already I think he actually passed the concussion protocol yesterday or today. So he's fine. He's good to go. You know what, Corey? This Carr, Crabtree, Cooper combo is impressive and legit and matchup proof at this point. I mean,
you
got to roll.
Done.
Oh, big time. These three are so underrated. And I said it the other day to somebody. I mean, the Cooper, Crabtree, Carr, and the Bortles, Robinson, Hearns are very similar to me in terms of guys in their offenses are matchup proof, and every week consistent, and you could roll all three out in season-long and daily. You know, they're just two up-and-coming offenses. They get it done. They're two up-and-coming offenses that you can actually trust. So I roll out those three again this week.
No doubt. And like you said, it's matchup proof. No reason. I mean, these are fantasy studs right now. There's no chance of sitting them down. Kansas City Chiefs and the Denver Broncos, unfortunately. I got some lineups where I have to play Charles Kendrick West against that Denver Broncos defense at home coming off a loss. But you know what? Take it like a man. It is what it is this time of year. He's a starting running back, and he's got to catch a few passes. If you're playing Charles Kendrick West, he needs to catch the football out of the backfield for you this week.
Yeah, and you got to hope the volume gets you to a decent point total for West because, you know, versus that Denver D. You know, even though, I tell you, one of the most surprising games was that Colts-Bronco game from last week, where Frank Gore, I sat him everywhere. I'm going to be honest. I sat Frank Gore in three leagues. I had him. I didn't want any part of it. And he goes and has a really good game and runs on the Broncos pretty well. So
I think the Broncos
were
fit to be tied. I think it was meant to happen.
Yeah. I think the Broncos last week were in the same situation that the Carolina Panthers are in this week, Corey.
Yep.
You know, going on the road and, you know, just coming off big wins. And, you know, get caught up in a game where you're like, oh, man, the Panthers, I thought they were legit, and they look like that versus the Titans. I think it might be one of those games, but I see the Broncos bouncing back defensively in this one. They're a little banged up now on the defensive side of the ball. Ware is out now, and Talib is going to be suspended. So that's two big guys on the defense, but I don't know how much that'll affect West.
No, not a Western. It gets an upgrade from Macklin and Kelsey. The guys in the past didn't expect them to be playing from behind, but no really appealing or attractive matchups in this one. Now, on the other side of the football for the Denver Broncos, I'm going to have some Peyton Manning in some DFS contests this week, going back to the veteran quarterback against that Chiefs disgusting secondary. Also, not to mention the fact, Chris, another thing I'm going to get involved with this week is I'm going to have a lot of Demaryius Thomas this week. A 220-yard, two-touchdown game is coming. It is coming, Chris. I know it. I can feel it. His salary on DraftKings is $7,400. You have to play him.
You have to play him. I agree 100%. I think my two favorite wide receivers this week, Corey, are Demaryius Thomas and A.J. Green. I'll tell you that much. Those are my top two for this week. Luckily, last week, they were Antonio Brown and Beckham, and I pretty much hit on that. But this week, Demaryius and A.J. Green.
The last five minutes of the program, Chris, the New York Giants and the New England Patriots, if you've been with us for 10 weeks, you already know what to do with this. Everybody plays in your season-long league.
Yeah, all right, so we just talked about Demaryius Thomas and A.J. Green and how much I love them, and obviously people might be listening going, all right, well, wow, those are studs, no big deal. Well, here's another one. Gronkowski off of a weak game. The Giants, if me and you were tight ends for the Patriots this week, we would score. The Giants are like the Saints. They can't defend the tight end. Now you have Gronkowski, the best tight end in football, coming off of a weak game where Brady didn't target him or feed him a lot. Well, guess what? Brady versus the team that beat him in the Super Bowl twice, in their building, you know he's going to want to show them up. The Giants defense can do nothing about it if they want to. The Giants, Corey, let me tell you this. The Giants have always been successful against Brady because they had animals on this defensive pass rush, DN, that got after him and got in his face and hit him. Well, guess what? That is not the case anymore. So for anyone going into this game going, stay away from Brady and the Patriots because the Giants have his number all the time, no, absolutely not. Brady's going to drop a 40 on the Giants in Giants Stadium this week. Gronkowski is going to be the biggest beneficiary. But I love LaFell, and I love Gronkowski in this game.
I agree with you 100% on that one. Those are players I like this week, too. This is a fantasy-friendly competition. Getting down towards the end of the program, Chris, Arizona and Seattle. Not too much fantasy appeal in this one. 44.5 is a total, of course. You know you start to stud. We're down to our last game. The Houston Texans and the Cincinnati Bengals on Monday night. Chris, I keep going back to you saying that you had A.J. Green as one of the top wide receivers going down the stretch. This could be the game. You know what? In DFS, I'm going to have some teams where I have DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Green and try to murder you on Monday night.
Yeah. I mean, I love pretty much all the Bengals in this game. But I always like to go back to, like A.J. Green played on, in prime time last week, and pretty much everyone else ate other than him. It was the Tyler Eifert game, Corey. Remember last Thursday?
I remember.
Yeah. And A.J. Green, they really didn't need A.J. Green. I mean, he still put up okay numbers. It was like 5 for 50, it was just enough to get out of there or whatever. Back, a week later, now he's on Monday Night Football, prime time. Dalton's going to give him some love. He's not going to dog him in prime time 2 weeks in a row. They're going to go after him. The Texans secondary is a mess. They have nobody to cover A.J. Green. Just like Eifert had his big game last week, I think, A.J. Green has a huge game this week.
All right, Chris, now to our last 90 seconds of the program. People in New York play fantasy sports on FanDuel and DraftKings. We have so much other things to worry about than us and our hobby having a good time, Chris. Let us play. You got a minute.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Corey. This is so stupid. I can't believe they came after, the daily game and all this. It's just about greed. All I'll say is this, Corey. It's about they want to kick back the government. All these guys, that's what it's all about. They're looking at all the money going around, and they go, well, we're not getting ours, so now we're going to step in and shut it down. You have 100 million other things that are wrong in this world to focus in on and try and ban or whatever. You want to come after fantasy sports and daily fantasy? I mean, they let horse gambling go on in New York. They let you play the lotto, but you can't play DFS? I mean, it's crazy
to
me.
Exactly. If they get a piece of it, then they're good with it.
All
right, for high-stakes fantasy football Hall of Fame with Chris McCarroll, follow him on Twitter at Chris McCarroll, GST. I am the fantasy executive. Corey Parson, follow me at Fantasy Exec. We'll be back with you next week for week 11 of The Takeover.
Peace.